I'm here on a
Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here in California.
I'm in Santa Monica, California. And Nancy, thank you for that lovely introduction, and it's wonderful to be here today.
Of course, of course. And you're just, you always have such a wealth of information, and you know so much about astrology, and I'm happy to talk to you about it tonight. So my very first question I have for you is, when did you first become interested in astrology?
Well, I was always kind of interested in it. I would read, you know, in the newspaper, they would have, you know, your astrology for the day, and sometimes it made sense and sometimes it didn't. But I was dating this woman in the 80s, and she could walk into any bar and guess someone's sun sign. And I am very competitive. It's not that I grudge it to someone else, but I feel like if you can do it, I can do it. So I said, how did you do that? And she said, I read this book. And I said, what's the book? I bought the book. I read it. I read it 3 times. And I would go into bars with her, and I was wrong all the time. I'm like, you can do this and I can't. So I thought, I know, I need to take classes. So a friend of mine had recommended, so she got me on this astrologer tangent. So I heard of someone who knew an astrologer. I had that astrologer come to the office, but he only spoke Portuguese. Luckily, my receptionist at the time spoke Portuguese, and it was like crazy, and I thought, I need an American astrologer, someone who speaks English, and a friend said she had seen this great astrologer. I drove to Connecticut to see her. She was fabulous. I said, do you teach classes? She said, yes. I said, what's the minimum? She said, 10 people. I said, okay, in 2 weeks, I'll have 10 friends together, and we made an appointment. So I started calling friends. I had 16 friends in 2 weeks, and we started taking classes every 2 weeks so I could go into bars and guess people's sun signs. Now, I want to say, I still can't do that. I realized about 10 years later, I had something called an ephemeris, and it's a book that gives you where the planets are at all times. And we had just finished a class. I was with a friend. We went into a bar. And I tried to get someone's sun sign because 10 years later, I'm still trying, you know. And she looked at me. I guessed someone's sign, and the person said, no, you're wrong. And I said, what's your birthday? And I looked them up, and I'm like, I guessed your moon sign. So the moon is the highest planet in my chart, and I connect to people emotionally. So all these years, I was getting it right, but I was focusing on their moon.
And was that like 35 years ago when you first started, like you said?
Yeah, I started in 1984.
Wow, that's a long, long time.
Is that 35? That's longer.
Yeah, it's even longer than that, honestly.
Yeah.
So how do you feel like throughout the years astrology has influenced your life?
Oh, my God, in such a big way. So, I mean, when I was younger, I was afraid of Mercury retrograde, like everybody else. You know, as soon as I started learning about things. But then what started to happen is I realized, so for instance, before I studied astrology, I bought a Honda in the 80s, a Honda Accord, because that was the car. You never had any problems. You never had any issues. But I didn't know I bought it during a retrograde. So the first retrograde, a truck tears off my bumper. When have you ever seen a truck tear off a car bumper? Had to be replaced. The next one, I'm at a construction site because I did real estate in those days, and my car is like 10 feet away, and 2 guys break into my car and steal my Benzy box. I'm really aging myself now. And they stole my Benzy box, and 3 construction guys take out after them, can't catch them, and need a new Benzy box. Then the next retrograde, this is 3 retrogrades in a row, I'm driving on the Merritt Parkway in Connecticut, and something falls off the Merritt Parkway and rips off half the car.
Oh my God.
At that point, I thought, I am never getting in this car again. And when I started studying astrology, I realized I bought it during Mercury retrograde. So what I started to do was plan my life. So I want to say it's like driving at night with the lights on. It helps you see the road. That's what astrology does for me. So, for instance, I sold my company in October 2020 because actually, it was a little before then, but right around that time, because I knew that Uranus, which is sudden change, was going to enter my second house of personal resources. And my big personal resource was my business, and that there was going to be a sudden change. So I thought, okay, I could either, so here's what I would tell a client. You could sell your business. That would satisfy the aspect. You could change your business dramatically, but since Uranus rules the waves, it rules social media, it rules TV, it rules, you've got to do something, it rules technology, something to do with technology and social media or being on TV, or you've got to do something in that way, or you could lose everything. So I decided, you know, I was ready to become a full-time astrologer, which is ruled by Uranus. So that was my decided change. And I had three companies bidding on my company. And during COVID, I sold it like that. So you always know if it's right. So basically, I plan things for me and my friends based on astrology. One more quick story. My mother-in-law years ago went for cataract surgery, and she asked me the night before if it was a good day. And I said, why are you asking me the night before? You're not going to change it, are you? And she said, no. She goes, I want to know the truth. I go, it's not a day I would choose. Well, she had stabbing needle pain in her eyes for 6 months afterwards. So when she had the next eye done, she said, Iris, what are dates that you would choose? And she went on one of my dates and had no issues.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. How do you feel that people can benefit incorporating astrology into their life?
Well, I feel like astrology helps you understand what's going on. And that's one of the things that really satiates me with astrology. Like when we're suffering from challenging aspects, okay, I always thought that like this hard time is never going to end. But with astrology, you can see a beginning and an end to it and what the potential lessons are. So for instance, Saturn is known as the taskmaster of the universe. And right now, Saturn is in Pisces. So a lot of people who are early degrees Pisces or mid-degrees Pisces are having a difficult time, or they're struggling. It depends on what planet is in it, you know, in this sign. And, you know that it's 2.5 years. Saturn is here to teach you something, to teach you a lesson. The sooner you learn the lesson, the sooner you'll reap the rewards. And Saturn always rewards hard work. So as long as you're willing to work hard, because many times when people feel, because Saturn could depress you if it's on your moon, when they feel depressed, they don't want to do anything. But the thing to do with Saturn is to push through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like there's any connection between psychic and astrology?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because the person I learned astrology from was a psychic medium and an astrologer. And she always said to me, you're very psychic. And I really didn't get it until I studied with Lisa Williams and became a psychic medium that I was using the glyphs in astrology almost like tarot cards, because I would say things that, like, in 1985, in class, we were looking at famous people's charts. And at that time, so who was key? Michael Jackson with Thriller. So we're looking at Michael Jackson's chart. And I said to the class, he's a pedophile. And everyone was like, how can you say this? And jumped down my throat. And I thought, well, it's this aspect, this aspect, this aspect. And they're like, I don't get that. I don't get that. You're wrong. You're crazy. Well, years later, it came out that there was potential there, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, we'll see. Not guilty until proven guilty.
There was some accusations. It's never been proven, but there were accusations. Yeah. But I said it in 1985, before the accusation.
So what I said our topic actually is going to be about tonight was the solar eclipse coming up on April 8th.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I wanted to talk to you about it because Lilydale Assembly is actually creating festivities and activities around this date because we were told that we are going to be able to see the full eclipse right here in our own backyard in Lilydale. I'm interested to know what this means for us.
So eclipses are fascinating. If you look at the history of eclipses, when astrology was first done, you had all of these astrologers laying outside at night looking at the stars, and they would make connections. And these connections were based on the stars. And basically, with solar eclipses or eclipses many times, something, and in the beginning, astrology was only done for kings or ruling class and kingdoms, okay? And so they might notice that if there was an eclipse, when the king was inaugurated, the king wouldn't, like, finish or would die within a short period of time. So they started making these rules. And eclipses have gotten bad raps over the years, but basically they unveil our destiny. They're game changers. They hit us 4 to 6 times a year, and they change, like there's a change whether you're ready for it or not, okay? So it's really like a cosmic, now eclipses is what I'm going to call a lunar moment. And they're poised with new possibilities and changes. Now, only if you can see the eclipse will it affect you, which is kind of fascinating because it's going to affect you in Lilydale. But, you know, it may not affect me here in Santa Monica, California, or we may be able to see it a little bit. Eclipses are based on our lunar nodes. So the moon has two nodes. It has a north node and a south node. The north node is based on where you're going to. The south node is based on where you're coming from. And they connect to past lives, karmic paths, and soul's mission. Now, the first eclipse we're having, which is not the big one you're talking about, is a lunar eclipse. And that's on March 25th. And if you think about what a lunar eclipse happens during a full moon, and a full moon is bright, it's sunny, I mean, it's shiny, it's not sunny, but it could be sunny. But when you think about under the moon's glow, things are revealed, right? Things come to light that you didn't know. So we're going to discover something that's in the shadows. So a light's going to be cast on the shadows, okay? And it's going to reveal truths about ourselves and other people, okay? So July 17th, 2023. The lunar nodes went into Aries and Libra, okay? So the north and the south node. And it's ushering in a new era of, shedding people-pleasing behavior. Because Aries is about the individual, right, and freedom. And Libra is about partnership, right? So the north node is in Aries. So we're all going toward an area of freedom, right? That's where we're going to, okay? So basically, we're going to be looking for independence with Aries and partnership. And that's what's going to be taking center stage during this time. And it's, you know, this is like, the eclipse that we're having is called it's a partial eclipse. It's a penumbral eclipse, and it's less dramatic. This is the one in March.
Okay.
So the one in March is a lunar. There's four for the next year that are coming up, okay? So So there's one in March, one in April, one in September, and one in October, okay? There's an annual eclipse in the sign of Libra every year, okay? And this is going to be about, there's going to be partnership and power outrages. So we could see power going down in places in the world. And when I talk about power, it could be political power too. It doesn't only have to be, you know, electrical power, right? Mm-hmm. So they are going to highlight harmonious duos. So it could be a partnership between two political leaders, right? It could be partnerships in business. It could be partnerships in many different areas. But it's a total game changer with what's going to happen. What this eclipse is doing, it's urging a balance in responsibilities to avoid resentment with your closest connections. So if you're not, like, say you're in a partnership, Nancy, and you're doing more than the other person, that's going to come to light. And what you want to do is balance it out. So a relationship or a situation that was initiated October 14th, 2023 should conclude during that time. All right. Now, also, for this particular eclipse, we're going to have Venus in Pisces. Okay, so Venus is love, and Pisces, when it's in Pisces, it's about sacrifice in love, and it's conjuncting Saturn, which is restriction, okay? And that says to me that you could expect a possible contraction in relationships due to overextension. So maybe you're doing too much, you can't see that person as much. Or maybe, you know, you're overextended at work, so you can't see that person as much. So as far as rituals are concerned for lunar eclipses, they should be based on overcoming barriers, letting go, healing, and breakthroughs. Because everyone says you should manifest with, you know, a full moon. I try to let go during a full moon, and I try to manifest with a new moon. Do you do the same thing?
No, I like that. I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the one you're talking about is October 8th, and that is a total solar eclipse. I'm sorry, April 8th. I don't know why I said October. I apologize.
Make sure everybody knows it's April 8th.
It's April 8th. It's April 8th, 2024, and it's in Aries, and this is about bold beginnings, okay? And when you have a solar eclipse, you've got the sun and the moon are two heavenly bodies conjunct next to each other at the same exact degree. Now, these occur on new moons, and they bring surprises, new beginnings, and unexpected paths. So they temporarily snatch away the familiar, and they urge us to go into uncharted territories. Now, despite the upheaval you might feel, these cosmic power outages often lead to major growth. So that's what I look for under a solar eclipse. Now, solar eclipses focus on fresh starts, embracing change, and revealing your true self. And this is really the time you want to manifest. So full moons, you see what is brought to light, and you let go. And new moons, especially with a solar eclipse, you want to manifest. Okay, so this one on April 8th is a total eclipse, and it's got profound significance with far-reaching implications, because this is going to be a big catalyst for change. And, you know, in Aries, tensions may arise between individual freedom and the greater good. So we can expect a global push for independence and self-expression. So Aries is about me, 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 okay? And this could lead to potential conflicts and significant events, okay? And these events can last for months or even years, and it could shape a new era on a global scale.
Wow, that's major.
Right. And when you've got a total eclipse and fearless, because Aries are fearless, compels us to seize leadership roles and illuminate vacuums in authority. And if you think about what's going on in the world, a lot of things could be happening. You know, I haven't looked at the individual charts of countries, but there will be some unrest, okay? Now, this eclipse is happening at 19 degrees Aries, and it signals innovation and change in leadership, all right? And, you know, so you can expect a transformative shift toward diplomacy, community, and valued intelligence. So since Aries is the first sign, it's about new beginnings, and it suggests a focus on the will of the masses over leadership. So there could be some uprising. So really what you want to do is because Aries, so there's four elements. There's five planets conjunct all around 19 degrees. Then you have the North Node in there and Chiron. And because Chiron is, it's also at 19 degrees. Is that 19? Hold on. Yes, it's also at 19 degrees. It's conjunct this, we call it a stellium, when there's more than three planets in a sign. It's going to highlight the relationship with yourself. And Chiron is about healing yourself. So it's going to be about healing that relationship with ourselves. Now, new doors are going to be opening for those reclaiming dreams that you've abandoned to please others. So if you haven't done the career you want because you felt that, you know, it wasn't good for your family, you might turn around and do that career.
How can you say that, if you don't mind? How can you say you have to be able to see it, that it really won't affect, I mean, it's better to see it. How come the energy is not just in the atmosphere all around?
The reason why you need to see it is because it has to, the energy has to come over you, right? So say I'm just going to make this up, Alaska. Because it's hitting like, it's cutting across the East Coast down to Mexico. But say I'm in Alaska and I don't see it, then it's not going to affect me. It only affects you if you're in its glow. Now, you could be 30% in its glow, right? Mm-hmm. And it will affect you. But if you're 0%, it's not going to affect you at all. Now, there's some other influences going on at the same time, which are going to affect this. Because you can't just look at the eclipse in like a tunnel or a funnel. You have to look at like the whole picture of what's going on. So Pluto is going to be in Aquarius at that time. It's in Capricorn right now, but it's gonna go direct into Aquarius, and that hints a radical change. Okay. And it's about diplomacy and community over divisiveness. So you've got this eclipse saying me, right? What do I, you know, I need to focus on me rather than the relationship. But at the same time, we have Pluto calling to us and saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, we need to focus on community. You also have Mercury retrograde. So that means there's going to probably be technical glitches or media-related hiccups. So there could be a lot of redos that have to happen. Then you've got Venus, the planet of love, sextile, which is a friendly, nice, easy aspect. It's like sex tie. That's a really nice aspect. And that encourages elevating relationships and valuing diplomacy. Then we have a Saturn conjunct Mars in Pisces. And this is about, so that's like lighting a match, potential frustrations. Now listen to this, due to shortages or outages. And this is going to emphasize our need for unity, working together. Oh, you don't have water? I have water. Let me share my water with you. And then last but not least, this is a honey of one, we've got Jupiter and Uranus conjunct. Jupiter is abundance. Uranus is sudden change. So we have an abundance of sudden change, right? And that's in Taurus. And that's going to be about an evolution toward these tribal or nomadic communities based on affiliations. And we already see that happening right now. But these are really big deals if you have planets. So that's another thing. If you've got planets near that 19 degrees, which I do, then it will also affect you more. So say, for instance, you're Nancy, you're in the line of fire for this solar eclipse, and you have no planets that connect with it, mm-hmm. It will not affect you the same way as it would someone like me who has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 planets that are connected to it.
That makes total sense. Makes total sense. So do you feel like, as far as Lily Bell is concerned, and we feel that there's special energy here of 145 years conjoint mediumship and healing, would that add to the energies of the solar eclipse?
Well, I don't have Lily Dale's chart, but I did run a chart for that time, and Lily Dale has Cancer rising when the solar eclipse happens, and your port of fortune, which is a mathematical calculation, it's not a planet, is at the exact degrees on the rising. So it looks like it could be a very good time in Lilydale. People are going to, they are going to come to Lilydale and remember it as a fabulous place, because your port of fortune is Jupiter on steroids. So it's going to be very lucky for Lilydale during that time. And I'm kind of jealous because I wish I would be there. I'm trying to think, how can I get to Lilydale for, you know, the eclipse? That would be cool.
Goodness, I'm so excited that we're planning, like I said, activities and everything around this, and to have the opportunity to actually see the entire eclipse. That was one of my questions, was how often does it happen? But you said the eclipse was like, is it typical for 4 times a year?
4 to 6 times a year. Yeah, this year it's going to be 4 times. The other two, there's one September 17th. And that's a partial lunar eclipse. And then there's another one on October 2nd, and that's a solar eclipse. But this is a total solar eclipse.
How
the one
day to day.
Not, it's a big occurrence. I can't really say how often it happens, but it's not, you know, they tell you not to look at the sun, you know, it's when everyone brings out the glasses, you don't want to look at the sun. Remember that. So every eclipse, that doesn't happen. So it is a rare occurrence. And the lunar eclipse on September 17th is going to be in Pisces. So it's the foreshadowing of the North and the South node moving into Pisces and Virgo. So they always move in advance. And then the October 2nd solar eclipse is in Libra, typically in the opposite signs.
So if there's people planning on traveling here in this area to witness and see this total solar eclipse, is there anything that they need to be doing to prepare themselves to be able to reap the most benefit personally for themselves?
Well, first of all, I would say bring glasses so you're not looking.
Sell glasses.
Okay. So, sell glasses. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Mercury is retrograde. So I would try to arrive a day or two before, because you don't want to arrive the day of, because travel, there could be power outages. You know, travel can be crazy. And the other thing I would do is I would look at your astrology chart and see which planets affect you, are being affected. So I know for me, it's my first house of self, it's my 11th house of community and of goals and tribes, it's my 6th house of work, and it's my 8th house of, you know, transformation. So that's a lot. And so what I would do is say, okay, what do I need to focus on, and meditate on focusing on the houses that is going to affect you.
That's very good advice. I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone, you can go to astro.com, A-S-T-R-O.com. Put in your date, time, and place of birth, and you can run your chart for free. So that's astro.com. This is not a plug. I don't work for them. I just support them by using them.
I know you were talking a lot of, I'll say, generalizations of things that could possibly move or shift that day. Is that the same for most people? Or like you said, depending on where their sign is at specifically?
Well, it depends on which planets, like where it's affected. So for instance, you know, when I see this, I say, there's a lot of issues in the world. Which countries, which I haven't done the research right now, that's called mundane astrology. When you look at countries as, and astrology, and I haven't looked at which countries is going to be affecting, but we could probably, there are really good mundane astrologers out there who are probably looking at it and saying, okay, they're going to be affected, they're going to be affected. But I know that there's going to be some issues. Like, I don't, you know, I can take a stab right now, but I don't want to predict anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't want you to either.
Yeah, but yes, no. And also you have to look at leaders, like which leaders, you know, is this affecting? It's a cardinal sign. Cardinal signs, and it's a fire cardinal sign. Cardinal signs get things going. If you think about the signs from the seasons, Aries, all the cardinal planets are at the beginning of a season. So Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. Aries, the beginning of spring, Cancer, summer, Libra, autumn, and Capricorn, winter. And they get things started. They get the season started. Then you're in the middle of the season. Those are the fixed signs, okay? So that's, yeah, you have Taurus for spring. You have Leo for summer. You have Scorpio for winter, for autumn, and you have Aquarius for winter. So they keep things going. And then you have the mutable. That's when it, the seasons change. And that is Gemini for spring, it's Virgo for summer, it's Sag for fall, and it's Pisces for winter. So if you think about it that way, an Aries, a fire sign cardinal planet, is going to start something, a fire.
So throughout all these years you've had of astrology, have you developed philosophy on your own life?
Yeah, I have. And that is, it's more about that we live in a series of cycles. And these cycles are for us to learn and to grow. And I look at astrology as, what lesson am I here to learn? And how can I grow from it? So even, you know, like the example I gave you when I was selling my business, right? I looked at that and said, okay, what do I want to do here? I am at a literal fork in the road. I can go in 4 or 5 different directions, you know, and I meditated on what is my highest and best good. So I do that with a lot of things, you know, and sometimes I don't listen to my own advice.
That's the truth. Yep.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, sometimes it's like, I don't want it.
I think sometimes as spiritualists, I mean, that's part of what we try to do, also try to live our best life, you know, our honest
right.
best life, and treat others like we want to treat ourselves, for sure, that we would treat ourselves. So I like that.
Yeah, so I really look at astrology as, so it calms me down, it explains things, like I can look at a chart and it explains, you know, why you're who you are and what you went through. People have said to me, oh my God, I never like realized that this was in my chart and, you know, that you would know this from just looking at my chart. And then also, as far as, I mean, mostly for me, when I'm going through a hard time, it's like, okay, how much longer and what do I need to learn?
I'm glad you asked that because I was going to ask you that if you had any advice for people. I mean, this is a difficult time of year for a lot, some people. The holidays, you know, people, there's a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings that come up with this time of year. Would you have any advice for people how to get through?
Well, okay, so right now there's Mercury is retrograde, okay? And I am going to say there's a lot of miscommunication going on. And my advice would be not to take things at like face value. And if you feel that something's amiss, talk about it. Because during a retrograde, there's a lot of miscommunication. I would also say try to get places early, you know, and live in the moment. I feel like that's the most important thing because really all we have is this day, you know, and we have this day to make the most of it. You know, I recently had an e-bike accident where I dislocated my knee and everyone's like, you have such a good attitude. And, like, what is my choice? I could have a really bad attitude or a really good attitude. And a really good attitude gets me much further emotionally than a bad one. That's not to say I haven't had my bad moments, but on the whole, I have made this a recovery party.
I love that term. I love that term. And, yes, you have. You truly have. And that's really beautiful advice for people. I love that. Beautiful advice. Well, is there anything you'd like to say to sum up this conversation we've had? I've learned a lot. I'm sure our viewers have learned a lot. I hope this encourages people to come to this area. Come April 8th, 2024, a couple days early, like you said, and witness this total eclipse here in person and here in Lilydale. We'd love that to have them. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'd like to add that Lilydale is a magical place and that, you know, the first time I drove through your gates, that, like, you feel the magic everywhere. And if you do go, will Fairyland be open during that time or do they close?
They might be set up. They might set up early this year. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to say if you go explore Lilydale because it is one of those places that I hold deep in my heart and it's a throwback to Victorian times and the people there are so loving and accepting and get readings.
Yes, right. Well, thank you. You know, I love and adore you, and I so appreciate you being here tonight. I would ask anybody listening, if they had any questions or comments, they can put it on the comments, and we could go back through and look and answer those questions that they might have in what you said today. I thank you so much for joining me. Also, we will be back again in 2 weeks for our next episode of Enlightening Your Way, where my goal is to help enrich your mind, body, and soul on your pathway to healthy living. Please check back on here, the Facebook page of the Lilydale Assembly, Inc., for everything going on here in Lilydale. Also, I'd appreciate you liking my page, Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, and Instagram, nancy.k.lombardo. My name is Nancy Lombardo. I am here protecting and serving your well-being. And I say to you, good evening, and thank you, Iris.
Thank you, Nancy.